James chapter 1, verse 3. James chapter 1, verse 3. I have two titles. There's one that you don't have. The title that you do have is Testing of a Living Faith. Faith is confidence. Faith is trust in the living God. Faith is also referred to as divine persuasion. And we know by now that the Christian cannot live without divine persuasion in his or her life. Well, there's another title that you can draw from this. It is Testing Your Spiritual Toughness. Testing Your Spiritual Toughness. How tough is your faith? Is it tough enough to pass the test that God is going to send your way? Well, let's begin with verse 3 and get ready to take some notes as usual. You'll notice verse 3 begins, be assured. Underline those two words, be assured, and take this note if you will. From be assured, when you look this up in the Greek language, it means God is sovereign. And the word sovereign means that God is in control of everything all the time. God is sovereign over every trial, meaning God is using the trials for His purpose. Now, I'm going to read a little bit more about sovereignty in reference to God that you do not have. Number one, is God sovereign over everything? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. The rain and snow that falls, is He sovereign over?
Yes.
What seems like random events, is He sovereign over?
Yes.
What about events of nations, is He sovereign over? He ordained all the days of our lives before we were born. Is that yes?
Yes.
He fashions our hearts that we may depend on His faithful love. Yes or no? He orders our steps. Yes or no? So the BLM or Antifa doesn't order our steps, or neither does woke, or neither does our government. Is that correct? Thank you so much. God is sovereign over birth defects. Do you believe that? Natural disasters. And even over the evil things that people do, although He is not responsible for their sin. Is that correct? All right, thank you so much. Be assured, verse 3, that the testing of your faith, underline the word your, we are referring to a Christian who is saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So every Christian has received the gift of faith. God is going to test it to see if it's going to be a sustaining faith. Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance. Underline that word, endurance. It means to remain under. So do you have the kind of sustaining faith that will enable you to remain under the trial that God has allowed to come into your life at that particular moment? I know the answer would be yes. Then endurance is defined as staying power. I can, by the grace of God, by the power of God, by obedience to the Word of God, I can have staying power under anything God allows to come into my life. It is the ability, endurance, to hold up under the stress of difficult circumstances. So let's go back to verse 3. Be assured that the testing of your faith as a Christian through experience produces endurance, that is leading to spiritual maturity. Underline that word maturity, if you will, and write this. Maturity, and we're talking about Christian spiritual maturity, only comes through testing that is going to come from the living God at this moment in the context. Also, faith is made pure only when fiery trials burn away the dross. Well, look at that word knowing. Knowing. A knowledge grounded. A knowledge that is grounded, that runs deep and thorough in the Word of God. A knowledge that came from God's Word. grounded, running deep in personal experience. Now listen to what we're about to read here. Were James' readers ignorant of the truth set before them? The answer is no, they were not ignorant of this specific truth. Were they still expected to continue to realize this truth in personal experience? The answer is yes. Now, can you hear this? Jesus, Heavenly Father, I've read about this stuff. I know all about it through reading. I have kind of an understanding of it. But are you telling me, even though we know about it, you're still going to put us through it? And the answer is absolutely yes. So if you know about it, you should know how to endure it and how to handle the trial that I'm about to put in your life as a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, must the proper attitude be adopted to face trials? The answer is yes. Underline the word adopted. The word adopted means to accept what already exists. The proper attitude God is asking us to have when facing trials, where will we find this? In the Word of the Living God. You'll find it in James and you'll find it in other books. Well, look at that next phrase, that the testing. Now, testing refers to a means of authenticating something. So you have to ask yourself the question, is my faith real? Is my faith tough? How sustaining is the faith that I have that has come from the living God? Well, does God apply specific tests to each of His children? The answer is yes. Will these tests reveal the true character of each one's faith? The answer is yes also. So notice the object of God's testing is your faith. Number two. So what is God like here in James? An expert trainer. He's like an expert trainer. Now, what is an expert trainer in reference to God? It means that God has a specialized knowledge of everything. God has a specialized knowledge of everything. Remember, God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God is what? He is everywhere present. And God is all-sufficient. So God is an expert trainer. He has specialized knowledge of everything. Who knows which muscles to develop. Underline the word develop. That means which spiritual muscles to cause to grow and also to cause to mature. Now I'm going to read about some spiritual development that you don't have, but I got this the other day and I want you to listen to it. What happens inside of you when you are asked to wait? Is waiting for you a time of strengthening or weakening? Have you ever stopped to consider why God asks you to wait? When God asks you to wait, what happens to your spiritual muscles? While you wait, do your spiritual muscles grow bigger and stronger or become weaker? Waiting for the Lord isn't about God forgetting you, forsaking you, or being unfaithful to His promises. It's actually God giving you time to consider His glory and to grow stronger in the faith that He has given you. Remember, waiting isn't just about what you are hoping for at the end of the wait, but also about what you will become as you wait. What is one of God's primary shaping tools? Well, we know that God is all wise. God is all loving. His timing is always right. And His focus isn't so much on what you will experience and enjoy, but on what you will become. God is committed to using every tool at His disposal to rescue you from yourself and to shape you into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. The fact is that waiting is one of God's primary shaping tools. God, you might want to say this. I hope you will. I'm going to read it, then I'm going to ask you to say it with me. God, right now, I pray to commit to what you want me to become. Are you ready? Can you repeat that? Here we go. God, right now, I pray to commit to you what you want me to become. Amen. Thank you so much. Back to the printout. An expert trainer who knows which spiritual muscles to develop, that's God. He knows which one to grow. He knows which one to mature. He knows which one will bring you into Christ's likeness. To develop what diet to follow, underline the word diet. What is a diet? It is a specific, continuous, habitual nourishment. If we are going to pass the test that God sends into our lives as His people, do we need a specific, continuous, habitual nourishment? Yes. The answer is yes. An expert trainer, God is, who knows which muscles to develop, what diet to follow, and what schedule. Underline the word schedule. The word schedule means plan, timetable, program. So God knows the plan we need. He knows the timetable, and He knows the exact program. The schedule to keep in order to bring about the best results. The goal is not to snap our faith muscles, but to stretch and strengthen them, producing endurance, which means to abide under, and we would say, just hang in there. Endurance has an even greater purpose, literally, perfect work. I can't produce perfect work. There's only one that can produce that, and that is the living God. Listen to what He says. God says, in my, underline the word my. It is capitalized. That means it is a reference to the living God. So we're talking about something that was in the mind of God in eternity past. Something that is non-negotiable. So listen to what is non-negotiable and listen to what was in the mind of God in eternity past. In my sovereign plan. Again, underline the word sovereign. And it refers to something that God is in control over. So God has a plan. He is in total control over the plan, again, that was in His mind in eternity past. And it's not going to change. My sovereign plan. Underline the word plan. So God has a plan. Where will we find this plan? In the Word of God. Can the Christian do without the Word of God? Must he learn and study and live in obedience by the Word of God? In my sovereign plan, I've, God, lined up a chain of events that will, underline the word will, take place. And nothing will change this chain of events that I have established again in my mind and will bring it to pass in what? On this earth at the due time. In my sovereign plan, I've lined up a chain of events that will take place. My finger of testing pushes the first one. Endurance, and you know what that is, staying power. When endurance takes place, it bumps into maturity. This is Christ-likeness, which leads ultimately to a fully developed character. Now, the people I regard as having great Christian character have learned how to handle life in a time of crisis. Notice the word learned. It did not come automatically. Nothing in the Christian life is going to come automatically. You're going to have to get your Bible. You're going to have to read the Bible. You're going to have to study the Bible. And you're going to have to ask God to give you wisdom about what you read. That is insight and understanding. All right, back to the printout. It's the mother who has lost a child and is able to say to God, "You gave and you took away. Blessed be your name." It's the father who, having given his best at the firm for years, loses his job and says to his family, "Let's get together tonight and thank God for this opportunity to trust Him." Go to page 2, if you will. There's more. It is the teenager who says, "I won't surrender my principles. I'll maintain my standards, even though I am shunned and treated like an outsider by my peers." That's the marvelous quality of maturity in Christ. A completeness and wholeness emerges when we patiently hang in there. That is endurance. Question: how can Christians, neck deep in troubles, rise above their situations without dropping out, giving in, or falling short? What can they do to handle the various trials that is going to come their way, like it or not? Here's the word: consider. It means the leading influence or guide of something. This word is used for a person at the front of a line leading a procession. What should our leading thought be? Joy. What is joy? What does the J stand for? Jesus Christ. He's got to be actually the lead man, the lead one, the lead thought in our life. O stands for others, doesn't it? And then Y stands for yourself, behind which all other attitudes and actions must fall in line. How can you stay joyful, positive, even calm in the middle of trials? By knowing that God has a greater purpose in the testing. It's a purpose that I know nothing about. It's a purpose that I'll only know when God allows it to come into my life at the right time. Moment. So how can you stay joyful, positive, even calm in the middle of trials? By knowing that God has a greater purpose in the testing, the believer is able to consider it all joy, or count it all joy. Finally, James encourages his readers to let endurance have its perfect or complete result. The language communicates the ideal of cooperation. You have to ask the question, how often, how much do I cooperate with God's work and God's plan? By the way, where will you find God's work and God's plan? In the Bible. You can't do without it. 1 Peter 5:6. He says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time." Just as a potter may use her fingers or his fingers to mold a work of art. And that's what you are in God's mind. You are a work of art. So God's fingers work through various circumstances to bring about His perfect result of maturity and completeness in the lives of His people. Question: so how do believers rise above troubles? Let's define troubles. How do believers rise above sinful attitudes? How do believers rise above bad habits? How do believers rise above wrong thinking in everyday life? They face them with a deliberate attitude of joy. What is deliberate? I think we all know the definition of that. Deliberate means it's going to happen. I'm going to see to it. I won't see to it going in another direction or being another thing. I deliberately, according to Ephesians 5:18, and here we go again, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be controlled, be divinely persuaded by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And that which is deliberate, that is to happen and come forth, will come forth not by human reason or logic, but by the power of Almighty God. Just remember, God is all powerful. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you so much. Verses 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, underline wisdom. If any of you. Well, preacher, I've had a bad week. Been a bad boy. Not been what I should. Is God going to listen to me? What did he say? If any of you, and you is referring to who? Believers in Jesus Christ. Here is a grace gift that comes only from God. If any of you lacks spiritual insight and spiritual understanding, that is to guide him through a decision. How many of you pray when you know you're in a trial, God, I've been in this for 5 minutes. If you don't mind, would you deliver me now? And God says, I'm not going to deliver you because you know I hadn't heard from you in about 20 years. And now you and I are having a great conversation. We're walking together in fellowship. What is fellowship? It is koinonia in the Greek language. It is intimacy. So God is saying to this believer, isn't it nice that we are being intimate at this moment? Surely you haven't forgotten it already, have you? If any of you lack spiritual insight and understanding, to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask. Underline the word ask. It is a reference to prayer in the original language. So I want you to pray, Jesus says, and pray and ask in your prayer for wisdom. Our benevolent God, who gives to everyone how? Generously. That means he gives more than enough. More than enough. You're not going to have to pray again and say, God, I need more. God is saying, I'm going to give you more than enough in great abundance. I'm going to give generously and without rebuke or blame. If you come to me in prayer, my child of God, no matter what you have done, what you're stepping out of, what has been in your mind this past week, I promise you, I will not turn you down. I will not browbeat you. I will not tell you how bad you are, how sorry you are, and that you don't deserve this. I, your loving heavenly Father that loves you more than you're ever going to know, I'm just waiting for you to come to me and ask for this wisdom. And when you ask, I will give it without a browbeating to come with it. How many Christians like to give advice but say, now you need to listen to me. I told you about this, didn't I? Yes, you did. And so they really glow in the privilege of getting into your life and trying to shake you up and trying to straighten you out. Listen to what God says. I am a God of mercy. I am a God of grace. I am a God of forgiveness. And my friends, just come to me again, your loving heavenly Father, and I will answer your prayer without beating you down. All of you hear that? Because I would say to you, if you say, I have to get my word in, Terry, there's not a Christian that will ever live that is above God. Or has the authority to run another child of God down. If there's a trial that they need help, why don't you love them? Why don't you say, God's forgiveness is great. Let's ask for it. He'll give it. In fact, he's already given it. There's nothing like another friend in the body of Christ that is willing to say, let's pray, let's go to the Word of God, and let's thank God for His love all through what we're about to discuss and ask. If any of you lacks wisdom to guide you, why does He say you need to ask for wisdom? Because you can't guide yourself. Anything spiritual, human reasoning and human logic won't work. Anything spiritual needs spiritual insight and spiritual understanding. It's got to have the Word of God. It's got to have wisdom. Listen to this, and we'll read it. Asking God for wisdom is not an option. It's the only thing God says for you to ask for. Wisdom, spiritual insight and spiritual understanding. I'll say it again. Human reasoning and human logic cannot penetrate the spiritual barrier. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. If any of you lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke, without rebuke, without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. But he must ask for wisdom. Ask, pray, in faith. What is faith? Faith is what? Trust, confidence, and divine persuasion. I am praying this prayer for wisdom as a result of divine persuasion. And it was divine persuasion that first came to me, enabling me and drawing me to pray this prayer. But he must ask for wisdom in faith, without doubting God's willingness to help. For the one who doubts is like a billowing shore on the sea that is blown about and tossed by the wind. Very unstable. For such a person ought not to think or expect that he will receive anything at all, listen to this, from the Lord. You can't say, I believe in my logic and my reasoning, and at the same time, do something else. Page 3. Question. Why do trials overwhelm us? Mostly because our first thought is overwhelming. The first thought we have is not one of victory. It's not one of the power of Almighty God. It's not one of wisdom. What did God say? Let him ask for wisdom. That's what has to happen. Why do trials overwhelm us? Because we let them. Why do we sometimes cave in? What things block the joy of enduring life in a trial of time, of testing? The answer, our lack of wisdom. Whenever we feel ill-equipped to handle a trial, we have one option. What is it? Ask God for wisdom. How many of you, me included, went to other options? And then I had to pray, Heavenly Father, forgive me for disobeying you. And somebody's going to say, what do you mean for disobeying him? I didn't go to wisdom first. Let's reread it. We have one God-given option. Ask God for wisdom. So what are you going to do next time you're in a trial or a time of adversity and hardship and testing? What are you going to do? You're going to ask God for wisdom. In this context, wisdom can be defined as the ability to view life from God's perspective. James says this kind of wisdom comes by prayer. It might be something as simple as, Lord, In the midst of this loss or heartache or failure, I ask you for wisdom. Why do you want to ask God? You want to ask somebody else that's a human? Well, they're Christian, Terry, and I know they read the Bible pretty thorough. Do you think that other Christian has any idea on what you're going through or you're dealing with? Or would you rather go straight to God, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present and all-sufficient, and will give you spiritual insight and spiritual wisdom and understanding? And listen to this, and he's not going to sit there and slap you upside the head 15, 25 times. It reminds me of a story only in the Bible, the prodigal son. When the old boy got up out of the pig pen, started home, his daddy didn't sit in the seat and say, let me think how I can just beat him down and run him down real good. No, his daddy got up, didn't he? And ran out the door, and when he got out the door, his arms were wide open. And you can imagine that conversation. I love you. I love you. I love you, son. How many lives would be changed if daddy had learned to say, I love you, I love you, I love you, son or daughter. Welcome home. Back to the printout. Number two, when we feel overwhelmed, faith can be hard to come by. Just as a lack of wisdom can cause us to become overwhelmed, so a lack of faith can result in our caving in. Is James referring to saving faith here in verse 6? No. Surprise you? He has in mind sustaining faith. Endurance. What is endurance? Sustain. Stay under. Don't move. Stay in that spot. Ask for wisdom that we can have intimacy and fellowship. He has in mind sustaining faith, the kind of faith that allows us to endure trials, to align our will and our attitude with a divine perspective, abandoning ourselves to God and His mighty hand. Most gracious Heavenly Father, may we abandon ourselves to the living God. Who better to run to? Who better to serve? Who better to learn from than the living God? And the word that He has given us, a word of absolute truth and a word of absolute reality. So the next time we're down and out and don't have a clue as what to do, for what's happening to me now is beyond human reasoning and beyond human logic, and I need help, then remember to go to James and said, God is eagerly awaiting my child for you to come to Him, that He may generously and in great abundance give you what is necessary to endure and come out in victory in this trial. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.